Bama Beat. From the sports desk of the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Now, the Bama Beat Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones, here with Cecil Hurt, who's back from vacation. Cecil, how was your week off?
It was great. It was great. Watched some World Cup, which we talked about last time, so we won't talk about that again. But went to the concert Saturday night in Tuscaloosa.
It was a Drive-By Truckers.
Truckers and Tedeschi Trucks Band and Marcus King. So it was a really good show. So,
yeah.
So that's a good week off. Didn't really go much of anywhere, but
it's okay. Sometimes just need a week in Tuscaloosa to decompress.
We've got some travel coming up. So
yeah, that'll be SEC Media Days coming up. Probably about a week or two after you guys consume this podcast. We're recording this on Tuesday, July 3rd, but it's going to come out either on July 5th after the holiday, or it's going to come out after the weekend. So we're going to be continuing our position preview series for Alabama's 2018 roster today, talking about the defensive line. Now, we've gone through the wide receivers, we've gone through the outside linebackers with Tommy Dees over the last couple of weeks, and now we're on to the defensive line. Kind of ties in with the outside linebackers, although there's not necessarily a lot of guys who play both positions. One obviously affects the other one. And defensive line is a position that Alabama will have some question marks on. Daron Payne being the nose tackle last year and now gone to join Jonathan Allen and the Washington Redskins, probably the biggest question mark. Also, just in general, a question about depth, I would say, as you lose a couple of guys like Deshaun Hand, who was a starter for most of last year. Obviously, he was injured for part of it. There were other guys who got snaps at defensive end, but Hand was a guy who was a big player last year.
And then Josh Frazier.
Yeah.
Also
Josh
drafted,
Frazier.
You know, an NFL draftee.
Yeah, good for Josh. So. Yeah. Most college football teams, if you were to lose three NFL draft picks on the defensive line in 1 year, you know, for one thing, holy cow, that would be amazing, because nobody ever has three NFL draft picks in the defensive line in one class unless you're Alabama or NC State,
right.
It always happens to have them. But in this case, for Alabama, you know, people are looking and see it, wondering who the next first-round draft pick is or who the next all-SEC player is, because they've had such an incredible run of guys coming through on that side of the ball and on the defensive line.
Well, the two, to leap right into it, the two that people are looking at, obviously, are Raekwon Davis and Isaiah Bugs, who are the most experienced guys coming back, who are big, physical guys. I thought for a junior college transfer, I thought Isaiah had a really good year last year. I thought Raekwon really came along in his second year, and so if their arc continues to go the direction that it went last year, they should both be outstanding, and I think that's what they'll look to build the defense around. Now, in terms of replacing Daron Payne, I'm not 100% sure what route they'll take to do that. Obviously,
it'll be harder than people realize.
Either one of those guys could, but you know, they're not really suited. They're taller guys, particularly Raekwon, and aren't really classic nose tackle type guys. So it'll be interesting to see who steps in. There certainly are some candidates, but I think even the younger guys that people are most excited about, whether it's LeBryan Ray or Quinnen Williams, again, they're not really prototypical nose tackles. So it's going to be the way Daron was. And so it'll be interesting to see how they make that work.
Yeah. I think there are certainly a number of Alabama fans out there who appreciated Daron Payne as a player and kind of saw what he did for the defense. But at the same time, the defense has been so loaded up with talent over the last few years. Guys like Jonathan Allen and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Rashawn Evans and
Ryan Anderson.
However many first, second, third round draft picks there were out there, that the guy in the middle of the defensive line wasn't always going to get a lot of the attention or a lot of the credit. although he was really a point of emphasis that every offensive line had the game plan around every week, because if you can't win right there on most of the plays, then you can't do anything. And that'll be difficult, I think, for Alabama to replicate without him. He was obviously a special guy to be able to come in and play a good bit as a true freshman, and then be an elite player as a sophomore and a junior and go pro after just three seasons.
He was, you know, he's really physically strong, could play. You could leave him on the field in pass situations, and he could get a push up the middle. So he's a rare type guy, and I think it's a, I hesitate to use the word concern, but I think it's an area that they're have some questions about. And I think the surest sign of that is that they signed a post signing day, what you would call a late junior college transfer at that position, from College of San Mateo, Tevita Musika, I think is how it's pronounced. We'll see what kind of shape he's in. I think he's listed at about 350. So whether that's, you know, fighting weight or whether that's something that they need to bring him down 30, 35 pounds, we'll see. But I think they just wanted to have another body on the roster to be available with Johnny Dwight and with whoever else they decide to plug in there.
Yeah. Tevita Musika is a guy, I think he's related or he comes from the same town as Washington's Vita Vea, who was an NFL draft pick this year and a really outstanding player for the Huskies the last couple of seasons. And the story that we heard about him when he signed with Alabama was that since they were growing up together and playing together, their nickname was Tall Vita and Wide Vita. And Vita Vea was Tall Vita, and Tevita Musika was Wide Vita. So Alabama has the Wide Vita, if you're curious about which variation of Vita they have signed.
Well, and it'll be interesting. Again, he's for us, at least, media-wise, the coaches certainly know more, but he's a wait-and-see guy. The point just being they felt like they needed one more body in there. Mm-hmm.
If they can get him to be, you know, 70 or 80% of Vita Vea, though, then they'll take that all day long.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great player. First, I think he was a first-rounder this year.
I think he was, yeah. We should also probably spend some more time with Raekwon Davis and Isaiah Bugs, the two most experienced returners there, like you mentioned earlier. I was a little bit surprised probably by both of those players last year in different ways. I was a little bit surprised that Raekwon Davis came on as a sophomore as strong as he did. I thought that he probably projected a little bit more as a project, a guy that you waited until maybe his third or fourth season to see how he panned out. It's pretty clear that he's going to be a very good player for Alabama at this point. I don't think there's any question about that. And then Isaiah Bugs, I think, was probably better against the run than I'd expected, but I was probably expecting him to do a little bit more in the pass rush. I think he finished last year with 1.5 sacks is the numbers that I've got in front of me, which, you know, in Alabama's defense, that's not the worst thing in the world. Defensive ends don't always get judged on sacks, or that's always not always a point of emphasis for Nick Saban. But 1.5 sacks over 14 games, you probably would have expected to see a little bit more production there.
Probably, but first of all, on Raekwon, he was so raw. If you remember watching him in the preseason in 2016 when he first came in from Meridian, he was just so raw. You know, he's big. You know, he catches your attention because he's huge.
He's the only guy who's 6'7" on the football team.
He's the biggest guy out there. But you just wonder how much of a project a guy like that's going to be sometimes. So the progress he's made from the first time I saw him prior to the 2016 season until now has just been really remarkable. And I think he still has.
Carl Dunbar probably deserves a lot of credit for that.
I would say so. And I would say that he still has growth in his game, maybe not physical growth, but technique and understanding how to play, and I think as everything continues to come together, he can physically dominate just about anybody he lines up across from.
Now, you are starting to see, as some of these preseason magazines come out, a lot of attention on Raekwon Davis. You know, some publications have done their top 100 college football players for 2018, or the way too early NFL draft projections, or preseason All-Americans, or All-Conference, whatever you have there. And Raekwon Davis is on every single one of those lists. And in a lot of them, he's very high. It doesn't surprise me to see him listed as a preseason All-America or a preseason All-SEC type guy. Doesn't surprise me to see him listed as being a first-round NFL draft pick, because, like you said, his measurables are just so incredible that NFL teams are going to love him. But I do wonder if a little bit of that is just based on the expectation of him continuing to progress, or some people who don't necessarily follow college football everywhere who just look and say, well, Alabama always has a good defensive lineman. Who's Alabama's defensive lineman this year?
Right.
And so he's the guy who ends up on some of those lists.
I think both of those things factor into it. And I also think when you make a big play in the championship game, and he had the interception, that really probably is as much as anything. You know, it wasn't second and 26, but given how that game went to get a turnover in that position, you know, they were in trouble against Georgia. Alabama just turned the ball over, and to get the ball back, and then to see, you know, Raekwon out there running, and so he's a name that stuck with everybody. Everybody that watches college football is watching the championship game. You don't always notice defensive linemen, but when they make an interception, you do notice them. And so that's the kind of thing that gets your name remembered. And people say, oh, yeah, he's that guy that made that interception in the championship game. Obviously, he did a lot more than that. I'm not saying he made one play all year long. I'm just saying from the type of publicity that you're talking about, when it starts being more preseason video, you know, that's the play you'll see on ESPN or Fox or whoever's doing the games.
Yeah, and we should probably clarify, because I think you and I are on the same page. We both think that Raekwon is a really good player and is going to have a very good season. Yeah. I don't know if he's coming in at this point, if he's going to be a Jonathan Allen type player, a guy who is really one of the elite defensive players in the country. I think he has the potential to be very, very good at this position and what he does. I just don't know if he's Mr. Everything for Alabama yet.
Yeah, you know, he's just also, again, and some of it's just
he's still raw in a lot of ways.
Right, you know? And some of it's just the sheer size. I remember before the LSU game, and Ed Orgeron's not one who's really given to talking about the other team, but somebody asked him about Raekwon, and he was like, oh yeah, Raekwon's my boy, you know, he's we thought we were gonna get him, and he's the biggest darn thing I ever saw, you know. And so he sticks with people, he does, and has I think matured some on and off the field, and I think has really made the adjustment, you know. So we'll see how the rest of the summer goes, but he's just a guy that stands out for a variety of reasons, not just his play. But I think we're not finding fault with Raekwon. He's come a long way. He was just very raw.
Yeah, the two guys that you would probably expect to see the most playing time, perhaps after Raekwon and Isaiah Buggs at those kind of positions, would be LeBryan Ray and then Quinnen Williams. I think Quinnen probably has a little bit more experience. LeBryan Ray was a freshman last year. Not sure if he would have ended up playing, but for some of the injuries that they had at outside linebackers, he might have been in a situation where they were trying to redshirt him, and then based on the injuries that they had and some of the guys that they ended up moving around, decided they needed to play him. In any event, I thought he acquitted himself well as a freshman. That's still a very difficult position for anybody to come in and play as a true freshman in the SEC.
I think he's got a world of potential. I think when he made plays, you know, and then they'd be, you know, he'd flash here and flash there, but he made some big plays, some really big plays.
And he's from the area that you grew up in Huntsville. Do you know anybody up there who watched him growing up know anything about that?
He was those Bob Jones kids. They're they produced a lot of athletes, football and basketball, and he was the number one prospect in the state. So same, you know, same background sort of as Reggie Ragland. And so he can't, it didn't come as a surprise. In fact, I think he had a little bit in the early season, a little bit of what I reluctantly call Ben Davis syndrome, which no offense to Ben Davis, it's just everybody saying, well, where is he? Because he was so highly recruited. But I think he came along enough during the year that those particularly anxious people got to calm down a little bit, and they see LeBryan and will be fine. And Quinnen, I think Quinnen will have a good enough year that Coach Saban will finally throw that T out of his first name that he uses every time.
Quinnen Williams. Time, yeah. Can't fault the guy. He's got 105, 120 players.
105 yeah. kids to keep up with every year. So,
yeah. LeBryan Ray also, I think, ended last year with a foot injury that kept him out of the postseason. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't see him later in the year, if you were wondering why you hadn't seen him the last month or so, I think that was what his situation was. Right.
But I agree with you. I think both those guys will play a lot. And then you get into Musika. I think they're really high on Christian Barmore, but again, where he'll be coming from Philadelphia, just have to wait and see. But I think physically they think he's got the ability to play as a freshman, and so, you know, I don't think he'll start, but I think, like LeBryan last year, I think he'll be a guy that they'll work into the rotation.
Yeah. Barmore is one of two freshman defensive linemen in this recruiting class. The other one is Stephon Wynn. Did you see him at all during spring practice? He looks like he's about 30 years old. Like, I'm serious. The first time somebody takes a picture of this guy with his helmet off in August, you're going to see this thing get retweeted 500 times because people are going to say that Alabama's out there recruiting guys who are already, you know, like drawing a pension or something.
So he looks like Ayshon's cousin is what you're telling me.
Yeah, right? It's a different kind of look. I think part of it is because, at least when I saw him, he had more of like a flat top haircut and some facial hair growing. Not Ayshon level facial right. hair, but he had the mustache that had grown in. He looked like your uncle who worked at the fire department or something. Like, where? He's a big, burly guy. I mean, just, you know, physically – both Wynn and Barmore are coming here at about 300 pounds.
Right.
Now, as is the case with Musika, you don't know how much of that is good weight, if they're going to need to throw those guys in the weight room and redshirt them for a year or not. But he didn't look that sloppy to me. You know, Alabama doesn't recruit a lot of guys who come in with sloppy bodies.
They don't. And again, I'm not saying, you know, Musika, some of the –
there's 350-pound guys.
Of the Pacific Islanders are that size and play at that size. So, it's an interesting group. I don't think it's a super deep group. They don't need to have. You know, that was the other thing about Duran last year was on top of everything else, just an Iron Man, just played. You know.
Yeah.
Every game seemed like almost every snap that meant anything. So you had to have guys like that. But I think people are so excited about the linebackers, Jennings, Moses, Mac Wilson, Terrell Hall, and Terrell Lewis Hall or Hall Lewis or whatever he is that. Now, that they feel like the pass rush will be fine, you know, and but it'll be a big key to keep those guys healthy and be able to stop the run.
Now, before we finish up this podcast, we should also probably talk about the new position coach for this group. That's Craig Kuligowski, mm-hmm. who comes to Alabama after working at Miami with Mark Richt the last couple of seasons. Also, probably made his bones a little bit. He's a veteran coach, but probably started to set himself apart there a few years ago when he was at Missouri. If folks who are listening remember, there was a period where Missouri somehow managed to have a first-round defensive lineman every year for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Michael Sam was not a first-rounder, was obviously barely drafted, but was SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Those level of production guys. But it's a little bit of an interesting hire because I don't think he has any background with Nick Saban. Am I right?
As far as I know,
yeah.
He doesn't, but I'm sure there's only one degree of separation for all coaches. You know,
yeah.
You know somebody who recommended him, and I think he came highly recommended.
Met him at a camp coach. Somewhere.
Both,
you know?
Right, both as a coach and a recruiter. So Carl Dunbar did a great job over the last couple of years. I really think that. And so it'll be interesting to see how things change, if they change at all.
Yeah. I think Miami's defensive line, particularly this past season, was a strength of its program. The defensive ends were really good. And he's coming into a pretty good situation, like we talked about with Isaiah Bugs and Raekwon Davis both coming back. I don't think we knew about this at the time, but learned after the fact that Bugs had kind of flirted with the NFL a little bit. I think Nick Saban told us back in January that there were how many early entrants ended up coming out? There was Bo, Minka, Calvin,
Deron.
I think there was maybe one more.
Yeah.
But in any event, there was one player who'd gotten his evaluation who decided not to go pro.
Yeah, you said Ridley, right?
Yeah, and that was Isaiah Bugs.
Right.
So he's got the materials there to work with. Probably, like you mentioned, doesn't have the depth that Alabama's had for the last few years, but still has a number of really good players and a number of really good players, too. You know, Fedarian Mathis is a name that we haven't mentioned yet on this podcast, but he'll also probably figure into the mix somewhere this year after redshirting last season.
Yeah, I think he'll get some snaps. It's a solid group, and you don't generally count on that being the highest profile group on your defense. So I'd say it's somewhere in between what people look for from the linebackers and outside linebackers. And what they don't know about the secondary.
Right.
There's really no experience.
I think that's a pretty good assessment of it. There's enough coming back that people aren't necessarily all that worried about it, although there's still some questions there. So that's what you're looking at when you're talking about Alabama's defensive line going into the 2018 season. Seems like a good place to leave this podcast.
It is. We'll see in a few weeks. How people look, you know, that's one where you really put the eye test on people.
You really, for
some reason, for one thing, this is inside baseball, but the way the practice field is usually laid out, we get to stand right on top of those guys.
Yeah, the defensive linemen are right next to where we get
quarterbacks. We're you know, you need a telescope to see what the quarterbacks are doing. But defensive line, you walk out of the indoor facility, or if they're in the indoor facility, you walk through the door and you're right on top of those defensive line drills. And so we get a firsthand look, a better firsthand look at them than we do at some positions.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back later on with the Running Backs podcast is the next one in this series. So be sure to check that one out as well.